This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Our last caller, Billy in Chantilly. Look, of course we don't know anything, but that can't stop you from, and they don't know anything, can't stop you from taking a big swing when you don't have a quarterback. But just as a comparison, you know, Jaden Daniels' completion percentage this year was 72.2%. His passer rating was 208. Lamar Jackson's best year was 59.1%. The two are different, were different as college passers. Jaden Daniels is more advanced as coming into the league based on being a much better passer as a college football player than Lamar Jackson was. In terms of their athletic ability, it's electrifying, both of them. Different ways, I think Lamar Jackson's frame is bigger, stronger, for sure. We have Eric Edholm with us. Always good to have Eric Edholm on the show. Eric is a writer and a guy at NFL Network, does a lot of NFL draft work. You can follow Eric on Twitter, on X, at Eric with a C underscore Edholm. He joins us now courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. So I'm going to get to the quarterbacks specifically as it relates to Washington here in a moment. But I read the other day, and I think it may have been from a story that you had on the Giants, on basically John Mara giving the Giants brass permission to seek out a quarterback this year. And there's a quote in there where he says, the scouting department, his, in New York, says this is one of the most talented groups of quarterbacks to come out in years, closed quote. Is that the general feeling? We've talked so much about all of these guys, but as a class at the top, is this equivalent to Burrow, Herbert, Tua, or greater than?
Yeah, I think that's probably – and it's a good question because, you know, there are enough questions, I think, with the top guys, right? I mean, Caleb Williams, I think, coming into the year would have been put on that, that kind of Trevor Lawrence level of generational prospect. I think he's a little below that entering the league and not knowing what we know now about Trevor, but just the sentiment coming out. I'd say he's not quite there, but he's close. I think there's the longer this process has gone on, Drake May's been picked apart a little unfairly, I think, or a little too much for my taste. But the whole idea of that maybe he's not ready right away. He's been steeped in this air raid system. He's got a lot to learn, blah, blah, blah. That may all be true. But I think in the end, you're going to see a pretty top tier talent at some point. Daniels has been fascinating, took an unusual path. He's a thinner guy. I heard you kind of talk about him in the open there. There's some teams that are absolutely fascinated, you know, by the Lamar like possibilities with him. He's a different player, but has some overlapping skills. You know, I mean, I think it's somewhere between that group you mentioned and what we saw in the Lawrence, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Mac Jones group. That obviously ended up being a very disappointing class. 5 QBs in the top 15, only one with their original team, really. So, you know, I guess Wilson's still in New York, but you know what I mean. I don't know that I can quite say that it's this year that we're going to look back on with like 1983 reverence, right? I don't think we're quite there, but it's close.
Yeah, somebody a few weeks ago, I guess, right, Denton, somebody said name them all in 83, and I got every single one with the exception of Blackledge. I had forgotten about Todd Blackledge, who, by the way, was
Tony Eason first, because I grew up in New England and remember him all too well, and unfortunately, yeah.
Well, he was the starting quarterback against the 85 Bears in that Super Bowl, right? It wasn't Grogan, it was Eason.
Almost made it through the game, yeah. I think he got at least 8 pass attempts in before they feared for his life.
yeah, for sure. That was the draft, by the way, where Elway dictated the terms, and the Colts ended up dealing him to Denver, but he had the leverage of baseball. You know, I'll digress here for a moment because you remember all of this as well. But I was talking the other day just about the idea that RG3 had, you know, that Caleb Williams should pull an Eli Manning, and so I started talking about that 2004 year with him and Rivers, and how did he have that much leverage? Elway had baseball. Bo Jackson, when he, you know, when the Bucks were going to draft him, had baseball. What did Eli have other than family affluence and the ability to sit for a year?
The power and influence of the last name. I mean, obviously, I think being at that point, maybe they weren't quite football royalty as we know the Mannings to be now, but they still swayed a lot of power. And you know, I can remember Chris Mortensen, the late, great Chris Mortensen, rest in peace, my friend, but giving sort of daily and weekly updates as we led up to the draft about, you know, of course, he was very close to the Manning family, and just talking about the concerns about the Chargers organization at the time. You know, obviously, they were in the middle of a stadium search for years. They played at Qualcomm. It was a par facility at best. Now the team would end up going on a pretty hot streak there and become one of the best rosters in the NFL, but they were terrible at the time and had a lot of rebuilding to do. And the sense was just that it was kind of a rudderless organization, and they just tried to flex their muscles and you know, say that they wouldn't sign. And I think that the CBA rules were a little bit different too, as far as, you know, holding out and things like that. I can't remember the specifics exactly, but yeah, I mean, you're right. He didn't have a second career option that he was going to be able to, you know, flex his muscles on. It was merely about public pressure. And the Chargers, I just think, felt like they were at the bottom and didn't have a whole lot to stand on as an organization other than just sort of, you know, pride and stubbornness.
Yeah, A.J. Smith and Marty Schottenheimer were not getting along, obviously. It wasn't the best run organization. I'm sure Archie saw a lot of that. Maybe Archie didn't like A.J. Smith or Marty Schottenheimer. Who knows? If Bobby Beathard had still been there, I think he had left a few years earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a spot. But ultimately, I don't know. Like, I've been a huge Philip Rivers fan. I think he's an easy lock. I don't know if it's first ballot, but it's no worse than second ballot Hall of Famer. And actually was the better quarterback than Eli Manning. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you're just stacking up the two talents, forget, you know, team achievements, and I understand it's a team sport and all that, but, like, I think I'm with you. If you gave me the choice in 2004, or I shouldn't say that, like if you could grab one of these guys at the start of their careers, knowing what they turn out to be, I think I'd probably pick Rivers. And he never won the big one, but I don't necessarily think that it was Rivers' fault that they came up short. I'm sure there were plenty of times I'd have to sort of scroll back through and, you know, find games where he threw late picks and things like that, but I don't remember Philip Rivers being the guy who always failed in crunch time. I mean, to me, he was the kind of the Kirk Cousins of his generation, almost like the quarterback that passed the eye test very clearly, almost better than him in a lot of ways. But
I think he was more. And I'm a big Kirk guy, but Rivers is at a different level than Kirk.
I mean, I think you're probably right about that. But Kirk's been a darn good quarterback for the last several years. And I just mean in terms of, like, never quite getting their respect. I don't think Kirk will make it in the Hall of Fame unless he has a brilliant sort of, you know, final few holes of his career here. But, I'm with you. I think I always loved watching Rivers play, and unorthodox guy with that throwing motion and everything. But one of the best of that generation, no doubt.
Well, with Norv, he played in the AFC Championship game, on a torn ACL against the Patriots. He also, they had the Patriots dead to right in a playoff game with Marty one year, intercepted Brady and fumbled it on the return. And then
Marlon
Brady
McCree,
let him down
if I
the
remember.
Field.
Yeah, I think it was Troy Brown may have forced that one. That was
he did. It was Troy Brown. You're a Patriots guy. Of course you remember that. Yeah.
Growing up around there, it's hard not to remember those teams. But, yeah, I mean, I think Marlon McCree picked it off, and then after the game it said, I would do it the same way. You know, like knowing what I – he would have played
exactly get down.
As he did. Oh, gosh.
Get down. The game's over. You know, that draft, by the way, when you think about it, Manning, Rivers, Roethlisberger in the top 11. Hard to come up with a draft like that since.
No,
where
you
essentially have –
Ben flipping to 11 was a surprise at the time. I think a lot of people felt like he was going to be one of the first – four or five picks in that draft. It ended up working that way. But, yeah, man, that was a crazy draft.
All right, let's get back to the here and now with Eric at home from NFL Network. So one of the things I've sensed, and I don't know if you've sensed the same thing, and you talked about the unfairness of some of the recent criticisms of Drake May, but it does seem to me, not that it won't change again, that for the time being, Daniels has put some distance between himself and May. Maybe not himself and J.J. McCarthy,
right,
but himself and May. What do you think?
Yeah, again, I always say, like, it's 32 teams board, so, you know. But in this case, only about, five or six teams boards actually matter, right? Anyone who's willing to trade up and anybody who has a top three pick, I think you would put into that category. So, obviously, you know, the Bears, Washington, you know, I would include Arizona in that in terms of how they might operate with that fourth pick too, I guess. But still, New England at three, Minnesota with the extra picks, you know, Denver if they're willing to fork over the farm. But, yeah, I think there's – I don't know if it's the idea that these teams have to have something ready to go right away and they fear that throwing May into the lineup early on and him not having a great sort of feel for protections and some of the different coverages he's going to see that he probably hasn't seen much of to this point. I mean, again, it's a little bit surprising for me that he's been kind of dragged a little bit in this process. Not terribly. I think everybody understands he's still going to be a high pick, probably somewhere in the top six, but
it's not going to turn out to be a Levis situation.
Yeah, I really would be shocked. I guess I would be at this point. But if you'd have told me back then, you know, in before April 1st that Will Levis is going to go to round two, I think I would have been surprised. So you never know. But, yeah, I think I would be more surprised than I would have been with Levis than I am now if May somehow went on a slide. Just because there's enough teams, especially Denver at 12 would be a great one. I just can't picture him falling that far through so many teams that need quarterbacks, even the Raiders, I guess. But, yeah, it feels like teams have just been a little bit more impressed with the experience of McCarthy. I know he hasn't played a lot, but he's been in big high leverage games, and also with Daniels, who went through the whole Arizona State thing, weathered the storm out there, and then came to LSU and kind of changed the program there.
Talking to Eric Edholm from the NFL Network, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. So you were on with Grant and Danny last week, our sister station, 106.7,
yeah.
The Fan. And you had suggested that there were people that indicated that Washington did have a preference in Jaden Daniels. So before I get you to sort of add or subtract from that, is it fair to say that it would be a surprise to all of us if Washington didn't pick a quarterback at number two, stand pat, and take a quarterback at number two? Let's start there.
Yeah, I think that's the route they're going to go, first of all. I mean, I think I would be surprised if they went a different direction. First of all, you'd have to have a high priority position that has a talent worth taking in the top five, a transcendent type of talent. So I don't know that that player exists. I don't know if there's a defensive player you would take in that range. I think the one position that makes sense talent-wise and need-wise, or not need-wise, but positional value-wise would be wide receiver. And I don't know that that's at the top of their need list. I mean, could they add one? Sure, of course. But, you know, Curtis is gone, everything. But, yeah, I wouldn't exactly say, oh, this is the burning need. So quarterback feels like, if not a certain lock, just below that as a possibility there. And then, you know, just piggybacking off what you said, I mean, I think some of my words were maybe, or maybe I didn't do a great job of explaining what I meant. I went to the combine and said to various people, what's Washington going to do? And of course, Washington, you know, good for Adam Peters. He's kept a real tight lid on information right. flow. They've really been active in free agency. It's kind of helped throw everybody off a little bit in terms of who they might want at quarterback. And I just felt like there was more sentiment in the conversations I had that Washington could take Jaden Daniels, because every team out there with any interest whatsoever in the top of the draft is going to try to use their sources to try to figure out who they're going to get. They want to have a better picture of what the draft landscape is heading into April 25th. So, you know, people say, well, how would other teams know what the Commanders are going to do? Well, this is an information business. They work their sources either, you know, through colleges, through agents, through media, other people. It happens. It goes both ways. So that was kind of the feeling I got. Now, I'll amend it by saying, you know, based on stuff that I, you know, my colleague Tom Pelissero reported that the, you know, Commanders could very well be in on J.J. McCarthy, as you kind of teased in early in our segment. You know, I think he's a realistic possibility, just like Zach Wilson kind of emerged as a possibility at number two a few years ago. I'm not saying they're the same quarterback. I'm just saying right. in a similar fashion where some people may not have been able to envision it before March. And now all of a sudden, as we head into April, it's becoming a real possibility.
So that's what, you know, Pelissero reported the other day. And I said reported because to me, what he said was much less speculation and much closer to the category of reporting. Because
yeah.
right now, I think, Eric, because we've got four of these guys at the top with teams that all need them, I don't know that we've ever had The NFL's dominated, you know, its offseason and dominated everything in its path, you know, including the NCAA tournament, you know, in recent years. But man, the discussion and the different ways this discussion has gone on these four quarterbacks has been amazing. And so there are two things that I wanted to ask you specific sort of in follow-up to that. Number one, because you kind of alluded to this. Look, we've been here for a long time, and this organization used to leak like a sieve. I mean, it was as unprofessional got. You know, you're a league reporter, and you alluded to it. It's totally different now, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And you know, I don't think it's like Adam Peters interviewed for the job and said, all right, you know, day one, we put a lid on everything. And that was what sold, you know, the new ownership that this is their guy. Obviously, his football chops are what comes first. But I'm sure that was part of his presentation. I'm sure that was part of, you know, as affable a guy as Dan Quinn is, the head coach, I think he would agree that, look, having come from Dallas where, you know, we have an owner who chats all the time about what the Cowboys might or might not do, it wouldn't be a bad thing to tack against the wind and go a different direction. And I think they're trying the big picture, if I had to guess and speculate, and you know, people I've talked to have mentioned this as well. They're trying to add a level of professionalism to the entire operation, whether that's the, you know, the vibe in the locker room, whether that's how they handle their business in scouting, and also how they handle the information flow. You know, there are reasons for letting information out, and that will get out with a specific purpose, and it can be used effectively. But there are also reasons to not leak information and have people kind of guessing as to what you're doing. It can lead you into some favorable situations, and it can help just everything flow better work-wise and not have everything lead to speculation. So, yeah, I think that's part of it. I think they've done a good job. I mean, I didn't know what they would do in free agency, but they've done a good job of sort of carpet bombing the roster a little bit and attacking a lot of different needs. And now they can kind of turn towards adding those star pieces through the draft.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because there are times in which for competitive advantage – it does make sense to, you know, let something, you know, fly through a reporter. But what we saw here for a quarter of a century was impulsive, angry, the opposite of strategic, you know. So that's what we got used to. But I want to go back to, because you talked about what you said, then you amended it, but your amendment was more about what, you know, your colleague Tom Pelissero reported with respect to McCarthy. So right now, as we sit here, I'm not holding you to it. It's only March 27th. But based on what you know, where's Washington going at two?
I'm going to make a change here. And based on what Tom said and another conversation I've had since then, I've sort of called some people and thought, you know, are you believing this? The people around the league are under the assumption that J.J. McCarthy has as good a chance to go before Drake May as Jaden Daniels does. Now, whether Washington prefers them or not, him or not, I don't know. But McCarthy's a wanted man right now. That's the reality of the situation. There's been a ton more buzz on him, especially after the pro day. You know, again, I know those things have maybe limited value, but it can be the cherry on top. It could be the final. There were a ton of people there, you know, a ton of decision makers there, important people there. And quarterback needy teams well represented. I mean, it just felt like that was the one everyone was kind of waiting for more so than others, even though we have Jaden today, Drake tomorrow. You know, there's some big ones coming up here, but that was the one that everyone felt like they needed to go to on a day, by the way, when there were several other high profile pro days as well. So the travel schedules were tough, but that's my pick right now. I've actually working on a mock draft. I'll give you a little teaser. I am going to put JJ in that spot for now. And I could be wrong. I have one more mock draft to make it right if I need to. But, yeah, without getting a lot from the team itself, forced to kind of go the tea leaf route and put McCarthy in that spot for now.
So what was it about his pro day that made the conversation about him accelerate on the positive
side? Yeah,
that's
funny. Yeah, I mean, again, I watched it, and I thought he threw the ball fine and everything, and I watched him at the combine. He competed. It was great. you know, I felt like he helped himself by not being at the Senior Bowl. You know, I mean, again, it's just sometimes absence grows to, you know, makes the heart grow fonder and all that. But yeah, I thought those two throwing sessions were good, you know, very, very up to par expectations, what have you. But I think there was he met with a lot of teams too, and I think presented himself in a very strong manner as far as temperament, personality, leadership. Those things do matter at the position. If the physical traits are there, everything else being equal, that can be the difference right there. And I think there's almost this, like, I don't know what the word is, but people are sort of in awe around him. And I know Jim Harbaugh sort of built him up to be this demigod, right, and the greatest quarterback ever and everything. But, and people may roll their eyes at that, but I'll say there's some people absolutely fascinated by him in the NFL and think that he may end up being one of those players who, you know, who, if you look at the numbers, maybe they're not the most fantastic thing in the world, but he ends up winning. And I don't know if that's the right approach or not. I'm willing to admit that I don't love him as much as everybody else seems to, but it's a hard thing to, that leadership quotient is a hard thing to quantify. But I think people are putting a lot of stock into it.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on McCarthy. I don't get it, really, but there's so much about him that as a fan, we don't know, and they do. Yeah. And the intangible part of this is a big part of the conversation. We're talking to Eric Edholm from NFL Network. So Daniel's pro day is today down in Baton Rouge. At the beginning of this show, I talked about, I think one of the big things they will be looking to see up close and personal, because they didn't get it at the combine, is obviously height and weight measurement. But does he look physically the part? Because I think that's the biggest part of Daniels, if you're looking for a reason not to like him, is he's skinny. Is that what will come out of today, or will there be more, do you think, that comes out of today that they don't know already going into it?
Yeah, anytime a quarterback is in shorts, there's going to be a lot of ankle gazing. I always sort of joke about, like, the, you know, like the oogling, you know, the body shaping. Yep. You know, everyone's sitting there like gazing their eyes. How thin are his legs? You know, how much meat is there on there? Yes, you get a number when you weigh in, and you get a height as well. But there's also a structural component to it, where people are saying, hey, can we pack on a few more pounds on this guy, right? Baker Mayfield or whoever else, and other guys who've added muscle since coming to the league and whatnot. So, I mean, that's part of it. I think arm talent-wise, he throws a beautiful deep ball, but can he zip it into those tight windows? I mean, I think people – you saw Caleb Williams on his script put a real concerted effort towards throwing from the pocket. I think that was the biggest question with him was – look, we know he can create magic outside the hash marks, and, you know, when he's on the move, anything's fair game. But teams still wanted to see, can he operate from the pocket in tight quarters? And I think, you know, you'll maybe see some of that too with Daniel's throwing session today, throwing in the middle of the field, you know, timing patterns, the deep out NFL throws that he didn't necessarily make at LSU. Some, but not all, you know. And so, yeah, yes, it'll be about – what he looks like frame-wise, and will that slender frame be something that holds him back in the NFL, especially with his running ability? It really hasn't for Lamar, I mean, for the most part. You know, so if you're able to avoid those big hits the way he sometimes can be, better than he was early in his career, maybe it ends up being okay.
All right, ankle gazing today down in Baton Rouge. It's a good way to describe it. So real quickly, before I let you go, a couple of NFL-related things. How do you see the kickoff rule, the new kickoff rule, manifesting itself on the field? Will it be a net positive for the return team or a net positive for the kickoff coverage team?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think it changes the strategy quite a bit. I mean, yesterday when I saw the news, I was in the middle of stuff, and I thought, I'll have to look at this. And by the time I sat down and thought about it, I thought, well, this makes it a competitive play again. You know, right, we've been seeing kickoffs going into the end zone at like a 70-plus percent rate. And, you know, the kickoff return, you were more surprised if there was a return than anything else. So, obviously, kind of putting the blockers and would-be tacklers closer to the ball when they're receiving it, And essentially penalizing or punishing teams for kicking it, just blasting it deep. You have that choice, right, obviously, but you put it at the 30 now. I think it makes it more exciting. You know, I think it does, according to the data that they've culled, cut down on injuries, doesn't give up as much battering ram lead-up time, so that helps. I think that's the goal, is that they want to make it as safe a play as possible while also making it somewhat competitive. So I'm kind of excited too. Plus, you know, you think about it, if a returner somehow finds a crease, they could be gone. I mean, how the kickoff teams handle that? Do they just go full bore and bear down on the returner, or do they hang some guys back a little bit? I'll be fascinated to see how the Rich Bisaccias and the Dave Tobes of the world handle it, because these guys are going to be thinking about it for the next 100 days. How do they come up with a kick return plan now?
I mean, I'm not a big fan of it just because it's going to be so jarring to look at. And
yeah, right.
We've sort of gotten used to, a kickoff looking a certain way for our entire lives. But at the same time, I'm intrigued by what happens, because what you just described, I talked earlier, like Cordarrelle Patterson was signed by the Steelers last night. He's one of the best kickoff returners of all time. And it's going to be a play that's more like a scrimmage play. Like, you could see Tyreek Hill, back on kickoff returns. They may get their best playmakers back there because the danger of the play has been reduced. And when you just described, 10 guys, like, it's almost like 10 guys are blitzing. They're going to have to keep a couple of guys back more likely than not, because if you get through there, it's the kicker and that's it. It'll be a fascinating play. I bet you that if early in the season we find that the starting average field position is beyond the 30, we're going to see a lot of attempts for kicks through the end zone, and they'll just say, give it to them at the 30 to start.
Sure, absolutely. And that's the fun of it, is which teams can figure out how to best take advantage of this rule. And I don't, I always worry if there are too many rule changes, it stresses the officials, and it makes it a game where it's constantly evolving. I don't know if that's the best route, but if you have rules that come in like this, where it's enough of a change, but also enough familiar to what we already know, there might be a happy medium in there, and it could create some really fascinating situations. I think that the fundamental game of football is great. It doesn't need a whole lot of changing, but there are some tweaks that I think, like this, might end up being pretty good. I was a little skeptical at first, but I've kind of warmed up to the idea.
Yeah, call me in the same category. I'm intrigued to see how it plays out. I mean, it's possible that we'll go back to the old rules next year, or they'll make the touchback more punitive and out to the 35. All right, one more for you. You've been so generous with your time. You always are.
Sure.
I'm surprised that the NFL is going to go head-to-head with a triple header on Saturday, December 21st, against three college football playoff games. They have definitely, with the Black Friday game this past year, they seem not to care much anymore about taking away from college football's big days. Do you have an opinion on that or not?
And the NBA, for that matter.
The NBA, but college football's been a feeder system and been, in many ways, kind of a broadcast partner over the years. They've stayed out of each other's way.
Yeah, I think it was, for years there was that kind of separation, right? We didn't have games on Friday night. That was for the high school. Saturday was the property of college football. Sunday for the NFL. Everybody kind of stayed in their lanes a little bit, with a couple of exceptions here and there. But in the last few years, I think it's hard not to, we used to always joke, there's going to be a football game on every day of the year at some point. I mean, we're not there yet,
right,
but we're eventually getting to the point where the demand is so incredibly high. The guarantee for ratings is incredibly high. What would prevent you from, I think they want to create a tradition kind of like with Thanksgiving, where people go home, they eat, they sit in front of the TV and watch football. Why can't that be the same for Christmas? Now, obviously people's habits are a little different and this and that, but I think the sentiment is the same. You're going to be around family. Watching football is a, for some people, a familial activity. And you have the opportunity to plant your flag as the tradition of the day. Why wouldn't the NFL want to own another day on the calendar? So I hear you with college football and everything, but this is a sport that's undergone plenty of schedule changes and has this new playoff format coming up. And, you know, they're going to have to figure out how best to market their sport. And, you know, they were doing it on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And I thought that was, you know, not always taking advantage of the calendar best.
Yeah. I think it's the antitrust stuff that, you know, when they started to create all of these rules and they gave them antitrust exemption and
protection,
they steered
yeah.
clear of high school football on Friday night, college on Saturday, and now they're going head-to-head with a triple header against college football's first ever first round of playoff games. That'll be interesting. What a football
yeah.
day December 21st will be. Eric, you're the best. I really appreciate the time. I always enjoy the conversation. Thanks.
All right. Pleasure's mine, man. Good talking to you. See you soon.
Yeah, Eric Edholm from the NFL Network. We'll get to some of Denton's news next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.